Thank you. may feel that way this morning, man. Amen. Let the musicians go ahead and have a seat. God bless you. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Pretty much this is our 8th anniversary. Seems like time has just flew by. And so it's easy for me to remember because it's Matthew and Brittany's 8th anniversary also. And so praise God.
Amen.
You know, natural time, spiritual things, you know that. I don't know if you ever put two and two together on that. But, and so we're just so glad what the Lord has done with this little congregation, just knitting us together that much closer, and just know that it's in His hands, and that's where we put it. We're just happy for it to be there. And I just appreciate each one of you, as Brother Daniel said, all the ones who give and their tithes and offerings and their efforts throughout the years. And I will expand upon that just a little bit and say I wanted to just thank the brothers who serve in offices in the church. I appreciate them also. And, you know, it takes people and it takes efforts, and it can't be done by one. It's got to be spread out and shared. And I think the Lord's done a good job providing for us. We went through some bumpy places, and no doubt probably some more hurdles we got to get over to get things where we want it, and a lot of physical things to take care of. But we just know that as long as we trust the Lord and we just continue to endeavor to love Him and love each other, that everything will be fine. And so may the Lord richly bless each one of you. Want to go ahead and open our Bibles to Psalms chapter 27. Summer has arrived, in case you didn't notice. I've been noticing. And for those who have to work outside, just keep them in prayer, and then especially starting tomorrow since they're going to start wearing masks. And, you know, but the Lord knows all about it. As much as we disagree with things and certain things or don't like certain things, you know, the Lord knows about it. And he's not caught off guard, and neither is His plan for us, His children, neither has that been thwarted either. So we commit it to Him. Psalms chapter 27, verse 1, and this is where Brother Branham was reading from in his rapture text. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And we want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll begin reading there, verse 39. First Corinthians 15, verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It's raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It is sown a natural body, and it's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. We want to pray just for a moment and bow our heads and our hearts. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to You now, Lord, knowing, God, that You are the one that quickens. You are the one that makes this word become alive to us. You are the author of life and the giver of every good gift. It doesn't come from anywhere else. we recognize that in you today, Lord, and we recognize us as your people. And Lord, every aspect of our life is before you. And we take confidence in knowing, Lord, that no matter what happens in this world and what we go through, that we are your children and that you're looking down upon us, Lord. You see everything we go through. And Lord, furthermore, you've ordained that we would be able to be overcomers in all things. So, Lord, we're looking to you in that fashion because we know you're the one that gives us those victories. And so we're asking God this morning through the ministry of your word to speak to us, cause us, Lord, to have a greater confidence in the things that you've placed within us and the hour that we're in, and to, Lord, just to look to you as you perform those things that you promised you would in this day. We commit this service in your hands and every heart, every conscience, in the name of Jesus Christ. Can be seated. You know, when we read that text there, you know, I know for me, whenever I was like, when I first started hearing the sermons, and I'd see the titles, and man, oh, I got to get this one, you know, and I'd see another, oh, I got to get that one. And back then, I'd have to order them and wait for them to come from Jeffersonville, you know. Nowadays, oh, I like that one. In seconds, you're listening to it.
Yeah.
But back then, I mean, I'd look through that and I'd see that sermon, and I also had to wait till I could afford them. Now they're free, just pretty much. But I'd do that, and I know I see a lot of smiles because that's right. But I'd see a sermon, and it'd be like setting beans and potatoes and sloppy joes in front of me or whatever, you know. But anyway, when I look at the rapture message, man, I mean, I'm going to dig into that, you know. And I was totally astounded when I heard Brother Brennan read his open scriptures. You know, it wasn't what I thought was going to be a rapture text at all.
Yeah.
But you know, he was God's prophet, vindicated. He knew exactly, because the Lord had guided him. He knew exactly what he was doing. And when you look at this text, you realize, especially now today, it's exactly what we needed to hear. Because you see, his rapture text said in a time of trouble.
Yeah.
His rapture text said that when the wicked rise up to come after the Christians. That's what it said.
Yeah.
When that happens, they're going to stumble and they're going to fall.
That's right.
Because God's going to take care of this. And then he goes on and says that he will hide us in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. He will set us up upon a rock.
Yeah.
And so I think that is wonderful, because that's exactly what we see happening. We would have thought that we wouldn't be here anymore. We thought we'd have done been raptured. But here we are. And we're watching the wicked of this earth rise up, and they're coming. They're taking their advantage, you know. And we know the scripture said that. We know the scripture said they're going to rule and reign for just a short period there. But you see, they're doing it. And so it's just like all the other things in the scriptures, they're correct. And what Brother Graham was reading there was very fitting. And so, you know, we live in unprecedented times. I'm going to title this today, Let Go of a Dying World. We live in unprecedented times. My wife and I, Friday night, we went to visit some people that was, my grandson Evan. It's his great-grandparents on his daddy's side. The man and woman's been married 65 years. And so they were having their 65th anniversary. That's a long time to be married to somebody. And he told me, he said, I just learned to say yes and not talk back very early on. You know, that's what he told me. But we went to see him, and I was talking to Evan's dad, and he said, I haven't seen anything like this. And I said, you know, and I'm quite a bit older than him. I said, I haven't either. And I turned around and I pointed to his grandpa. He's been married 65 years, so you imagine how old he is. And I said, neither has he. We live in unprecedented times. This is not a territory we went on. And so, you know, it's an interesting time. But I wish I could say it was going to be better and so forth. But, you know, in this world, in this life, in the politics and in the governments, and in the peoples of the world and in the religions of the world, it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. And I think that the Lord wants us to understand that very clearly. It is very important that we do not put our confidence in earthly things.
Amen.
And I know we still, we're just tied to the things, you know, because we're like that. But see, God wants us to have total, complete trust in Him and Him alone, because He's the only one that's going to get us through this.
That's right.
That's all there is to it. It's going to be that way. He's the only one that can defeat Satan. And He in us can defeat Satan, but we've got to have His help.
Yeah.
And so I would say that if anything right now, the church, the bride of Jesus Christ, this is a time of weaning from things of the world. And Brother Branham tells us in the sermon called The Angel of the Lord, he's talking about the United States in Revelation chapter 13, where it says the word of the little lamb that rose up in Revelation 13 had a civil, little horn, civil and ecclesiastical powers. They had two horns there, civil and ecclesiastical powers. But after it was a lamb, it had freedom of religion and so forth. But after a while, he spake like the beast, like the dragon, and exercised all the power the dragon did before him. A bitter persecution. We're nearing that time. Brother Rem said this in 1951. He said, we're nearing that time. And he said, you remember, church, that you're living the best day that you will ever live in right now, in 1951. Right now, until Jesus comes, it will gradually, not gradually, but rapidly get worse and worse. And so I want to ask you, and you don't have to answer, but just in the sake of what we're sharing here, has it got better in anything? Right? And I know in God's economy, for the bride of Christ, it's getting better. And I'll get to that in just a moment. But outside of that, has it gotten better in any form or fashion whatsoever? Has their politics got better? Boy, not at all. Right? Politics hasn't gotten better. Has the religion got better? No, they've compromised more and more and more. And they just keep compromising. And we could just spend all kinds of time talking about what they've done, but you realize that. But has it gotten better in the morals? The morals of the humanity? Absolutely not. See? So he told us back then, it's going to rapidly get worse and worse until the coming of the Lord. And that's exactly right. We have watched it in ourselves just in the few years that I've been around. I've watched it. You know, when I was a child, it was still, the word divorce was not something you said very loud, if you said it at all.
Right.
That's right. You remember there's a worldly song, they spelled it. D-I-V-O-R-C. Because back then, that was just in my day. I remember going to services where there was still a level of holiness in Pentecostal churches. But where do you find it now?
Right.
See? And so it has. It's rapidly got worse and worse. And so it's going to continue that way. And I'll have to tell you, I believe with all my heart, we've seen the best days we're going to ever see in the United States. Probably the whole world, but definitely in the United States. Because remember, this is where that beast rises up. We just read about it, or read the quote of it. Yeah. This is where this beast rises up, the second beast, and it exercises all the power of the first beast. Well, the first beast was Rome back then, and you know what they did, right? They brought the religious persecution. And so now it's right here in the United States that there's powers and the struggles are there, and it's ordained of God that this beast is going to rise up and bring a religious persecution. It's going to be right here where this struggle is right now that you and I are looking at. And see, but rest assured, Rome's behind it. Brother Bram said that there's one man on the face of the earth could say, stop fighting, and they'd stop. Why isn't he doing it? Why hasn't the Pope done that?
Yeah.
Right? Because he got the political power to say, stop it. Why hasn't he done it? And the simple answer is because it's playing right into what they want to begin with.
Right.
See? And so we know that. So everything's gotten worse, and it's going to get worse. And what God wants you to do is He wants you, by revelation, to learn how to let go of this dying world.
Amen.
Right? If your flesh, if you were laying in ICU in just a few moments from taking your last breath, you would have to learn real quick how to let go of this dying world.
That's right.
Right? But now you and I are ordained for a rapture. We're not ordained necessarily to go into ICU and go by way of the grave. Some might. But we set our eyes toward a body change. And that means that Between now and the time we go into body change, we too have to learn how to let go of a dying world.
Right.
You follow me?
Right.
And God, by His Word, by revelation, is teaching and is training us how to do that. But first, we've got to be thoroughly convinced that it's a dying world.
Right?
Right? A man that thinks he's got another shot at making his body better, he'll keep trying.
Yep.
But once he realizes it's done, right? Then he'll start thinking about, well, what about my destination? If he's got anything in him at all, he will. But you follow me.
Yep.
So you got to be convinced that this thing's falling apart.
Right.
And I think that's what we're looking at. You know, 2020 is the terminology that they use for perfect vision. This week, I, for the first time, went to eye doctor because of some issue I've been having. And so they did an eye test to see what my vision was. And so, kind of thinking about this, we're in 2020. And I see people post things and say things, you know, yeah, 2020, may we have perfect vision. And so let me say that perhaps this year we're going to, the bride of Christ is thoroughly going to be weaned from thinking that we still got something good we can hang on to here in this world, because we don't. See? And so that's what's happening. And so all these events, surely people are understanding that these things Brother Branham told us are absolutely right. That we can clearly see what the prophet has said. That we can clearly see that all the religious systems are going back to Rome. They've already done it. We can see that. We can see that influence coming right down through their pulpits. They've gone back to Rome. We can thoroughly see that America has this financial problem, this money problem. Brother Ram talked about it. We can see it's clear. It's like a thick cloud hanging over our head that's gonna storm.
Yeah.
It's gonna happen. See? Only being propped up or whatever it is, but we can see that. And we're not gonna escape it, right? And you know, I can say, well, we as the bride, you know, but you still have a wallet that you reach into. And so it affects you. Right? But God wants us to learn how to trust in Him so that as the world around us is crashing and falling, it doesn't hinder our walk. That what it really does is it causes us to rise up in Him, because we see what's happening. We see His Word. We know that the racial things that Brother Branham, the racial differences that he talked about, that was an issue there, and here it is before us again. It won't die. It won't quit. You know, and Brother Graham knew this. This is why God had him speak on these things in the last few years of his ministry, because these things that were prevalent right there that he's telling us now we're looking at the harvest of them. We're looking at these things coming into full fruit, and we see them happening. And so racial divisions, and he talked about how that the people would be naked, right? People would be naked, blind, miserable, poor church, a type of the church. The church is naked. See? And we can see it now. It's exactly what he said.
Right.
There are places in this nation that you better not go on certain times, because on the street without clothes on.
That's right.
Festivals they have.
That's right.
And he said it would be this way. He said it would go that way. And here we are. And so we can't have confidence in nothing like that. And surely you don't have confidence in your government. He said that you could put an Abraham Lincoln and a George Washington in every county. And I know in Arkansas there's 75 counties. And so I don't know how many there is in all the rest of the nation. But think of it. To take an Abraham Lincoln, two men with the character of Abraham Lincoln and George Washington that this nation was founded on. What they believed and they put in order, right? The men like that, the character to end slavery. And you could put those two men in every county. That'd be 150 men in Arkansas alone with character, and they couldn't turn it back.
Yeah.
They couldn't stop the nation from going in the direction it's going, right? So he said that. I ask you, when you do see somebody that looks like they potentially are trying to do what's right, how much traction do they get? None. We see it. You can put an Abraham Lincoln, a George Washington, you can put men with conviction right there in the White House or around the White House or in the Congress or Senate. You can put them there and they get no traction.
Right.
Why? because it's done. It's done. And so we got to just let go of it and stop believing that somehow, some way, they're going to divvy out something that's fair, that they're going to divvy out something that's going to solve the problems, because it's not. Everything they do is just another step to go right to that place where Rome is going to rule, which is Satan working through them. So no wonder the scriptures said, come out of her, my people. She controls everything. Amen. But at the same time that all this is going on, as the world is dying, and all the systems of the world are dying, as Brother Brand preached so many times, the world is falling apart. And while that's going on, there's a bride.
That's right.
There's an elect people that's rising up, that's coming higher. There's another kingdom that's being born. And that's the kingdom, I'll call it the kingdom of the Word. If you remember in Daniel, the stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands, we talked about it a few weeks ago, how that actually took place in 1960, I believe it is, right in there, with Russia and the United States. We're familiar with that. But according to scriptures, in the days of those kings, in the days of Eisenhower and Iron, which is when the prophet was on the scene and the seals were about to be opened, a message coming forth, right? In the days of those kingdoms, this rock that's cut out of the mountain without hands, and remember I said the other day that a rock cut out of the mountain without hands, and you have to ask yourself, well, why? You know, what does that mean? And it means it's not a message to come from man. Because in the scriptures, they tell you when you build your altar, don't be putting your hammer and your chisel to it. In other words, don't you fashion the place that God's going to meet you and take away your sin. Don't you put your tools to it.
Right.
You let God do it.
Yeah.
So this message that in the days of those kings there was going to come forth, this stone, this revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, this stone is cut out of a mountain without hands, and it wouldn't have man's hand on it. It'd be shown that it come from God and God alone.
Yep.
And that stone would smite that image, smite those kingdoms in the days of those kings and destroy them. And that kingdom would grow into all the earth, fill the whole earth, and it would never be an end to it. Right? And so we have to realize, we have to understand that what God did back there when that happened and the days of those kings, when this message come forth and the opening of the seals and all the things that God did there supernaturally with a vindicated prophet, that is a message that has come. It is not man's doing. It's something God did. And that message is going to grow and fill the earth while the rest of the kingdoms are falling and being blown away like the chaff of the summer floor. Right? We must lodge that down in our heart that the thing that we have set our hearts upon, the thing that our hearts cry out for, is the stone that is destroying everything you see around you. Outside. See? That's what's happening. You know, when Brother Branham, I don't know if you realize this, but Brother Branham, when he talks about the seals and trumpets and vials, and there were seven angels having the seven last vials, did you know Brother Branham was one of those vile angels? And did you know when he stood out there in Arizona, and he pronounced, or not Arizona, in California, and pronounced judgment, he's poured out that vial in California? He was. See? The very message that has come that's going to liberate his people is destroying the world. He's done spoken. He hews it with his word. We know that. He said that he hews them and chops with his word, and that's what he's done. By the spoken word of God through a vindicated prophet, these things are falling and crumbling. And it's something God did and man didn't do it. And so we have to remember that this stone cut out of a mountain is something God's done. So while all the kingdoms are falling, this stone's growing in power. While the world's crumbling, the bride of Christ, feasting on that word, that message, that stone, that revelation. Because when he said, in a time of trouble, he'll set me up upon a rock. I'll say it this way so you understand. Upon this rock that was cut out of the mountain without hands, that's destroying the system, that's the very thing that you and I stand on as our protection. In a time of trouble, he's going to set us upon that rock. Right? And that rock is a secret place. It's a pavilion. It's somewhere where he can put you and I by revelation, where these things can't hurt us and can't harm us. That doesn't mean it ain't going to hurt your flesh necessarily, because we probably could see some of that coming too. But it can't hurt you, who you really are, because it won't shake you. Where the worst of the world is worried and fear and so forth, not you. See, this is the place where God has for us. But we have to believe it. When God, as we've said so many times in the message, where he said, a pardon has to be received as a pardon. Well, when he tells you that you can get up on that stone, up on that rock, he sets you up there, you've got to believe it and receive it as such. And believe that you're going to be protected while you feast upon that message that's come. You have to believe that. And so, the world's falling apart, but there's a kingdom being born. Brother Branham tells us in Birth Pains, in the sermon or about birth pains, I'll read some of it there. It takes pain to go from the transition of the old to the new. It takes a pain to bring forth a new generation. So as the plan of God, as God has had a church, a Pentecostal church, and that he wants to take us forward into a message that's going to give us a body change. Therefore, we would be the next generation, as it were, in God's economy. We would be the next thing that would be birthed for us. And just so happened, we'd be birthed into eternal life. This is the last age, so we'd be birthed into that. But you see, you can't just easily go from the one to the next. It takes birth pains. It takes trials and troubles and sorrows in order for there to be a birth. Takes that. You can't have it any other way.
That's right.
It's a mess. See, a birth is a mess. And so, you know, we would like just to ride along in a smooth Cadillac, or my car, which rides really smooth. Maybe not quite like a Cadillac, I don't know, but to me it is. We'd like to ride smooth all the way right up to the doors of the rapture, but it doesn't work that way.
That's right.
It's never worked that way. You take a cow out in the middle of a field that's struggling to bring forth that calf.
Yeah.
See? And no matter, just like Brother Rim said, he could be in a pink hospital room or in a pig pen. It's a mess either way.
Yeah.
Right? And there's no way around it. And now we've got, I may have mentioned this before, but I always thought it was interesting. They come along and say, well, okay, lady or sister or whatever, you don't have to have pain. We're gonna cut the baby out. And it's called Caesarean. It's Caesar. Rome. Rome's got a way to tell you that you don't have to struggle. You can have this baby easily. We got another way we can do this. But you see, they want to give you something false. But God's provided way is for natural birth, if you can do it. See, I don't realize that some can, but I'm not trying to show that. I'm just trying to show you that that takes struggle, and it takes these pains of birth pains to deliver, but Satan wants to give you some other way.
Yeah.
And so, Brother Bram tells us, you know, in this sermon called This Day the Scriptures Fulfilled. This is where Brother was telling about how that when he was going to preach birth pains, and how his pages stuck together, and a priest come up and handed him his Bible, and then that was a repeat of what Jesus did, and showing that when Jesus stopped at proclaiming the day of vengeance of God, but now he's picking up again and fulfilling it through a prophet who's pronouncing judgment. And this day the scripture fulfilled. Right? That first part, Jesus at his coming there, he said, this day the scriptures fulfilled. And he stopped when he was reading. He stopped short of where it started, the days of vengeance of God. But Jesus Christ has now come again in this day in a vindicated message. And he once again stood up and he picked up where he left off and said, now we're at the days of the vengeance of God. And through a prophet, he began to lay out and bring forth the words that bring judgment to this world. And that's why things are crashing. See, we just sit around and go, well, yeah, he was a man standing there preaching and said both politics, both sides of the aisle is corrupt. He was a prophet.
Right.
He knew what he was talking about.
That's right.
They have a name for Republicans who really are Democrats or act like Democrats. And they call them rhinos. That's right. See? Everything this man told us, if we open our eyes, we can see it. We can see it right out there on the shelves in the store, the hybrids. We can see it in the medical system. We can see it in our governments. We can see it in everything. The whole thing's falling apart because Satan is not a creator. He's a perverter. And if you take away from the original, you've got death. And that's all Satan can do. And he can coat it and make it look so wonderful, but it's death because it's a deviation from the original spoken word of God. So let me read these couple of these quotes here. This day in the scripture fulfilled where he's referring to when he was preaching. He said, so Sunday afternoon when I got up to speak, I was going to take the text on birth pains, where Jesus said that as a woman's in travail with a child, she's travailing in birth. And so I was going to speak from there about birth pains, a subject saying that the world is in birth pains now. The old has to be done away with so the new can be born. Just like a seed has to rot away in order to give new life. And now the pains, birth pains, struck the world in World War I. She had a terrific pain because they had those poison gases and so forth, and they could almost destroy the world. And in World War II, she struck another harder pain. They had blockbusters and also an atomic bomb. She can't stand another labor pain. With these missiles and things today, one more war will throw her out into space, for she will now be delivered. And there will be a new earth, the Bible said there will be. Under every prophet's message, Israel got a birth pain, because that these prophets would come on the scene after the theologians and the clergymen would have the church in all in organization form. And when the prophets come and on the scene with thus saith the Lord, they shook the churches, and she had a birth pain. And finally she had birth pains plumb on up until she delivered the Son of the gospel, which was the word itself made flesh. So the church really is in birth pains tonight again, the deliverance of the Son of God to come again. All of the theologians and all of our systems and all of our denomination has rotted out from underneath us.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
It has. And this is what 2020 vision is going to give us to understand. It has rotted out from underneath us.
Right.
If you want to go ahead and continue to have confidence in those things, try it. But come back next week and I'll ask you, did it get better? No, it didn't. But rotting right out from underneath us. So we are in birth pains, and a message from God always throws the church into heavier pains. But after a while, she's going to be delivered. Now watch what he says. She's going to birth the Son of God, right? Watch this. But after a while, she's going to be delivered of a bride that'll bring forth Jesus Christ to his bride. Amen. So the birth pains, the sorrows, the troubles, the tribulation, the economy, the plagues, and whatever you want to say, all of that is there to help bring forth a bride for Christ, who, of course, when she comes to her fullness, then he's going to come, right? Come to her. So in her coming forth, being one with him, brings him forth.
Right.
So it's a birthing of the bride of Christ, or birthing of Jesus Christ in the same way. Brother Bam says, and who do you say this is? And now we know, we are aware, the earth just went through some great birth pains. And the church is going through some birth pains. It had to go through birth pains before it could. Each one of those prophets, when they came into the world, it was birth pain to the church. The world has went through World War I, Second World War, and now it's ready for a third world war. That's hard to say, world war. And it's in birth pains again. But there's only one thing that can bring peace, and that's Christ. All of our schemes, all of our ideas, all of our ecclesiastical buildups, and all of our politics, and all of our science, and everything And then when we pray to God, help us to intervene, come in and do something for us, and then when he does, I just wonder if we could be able to understand it. If we would be able to receive it, or even would we consider it? Interesting, huh? And people want God's influence and help in their life, but then they don't even recognize it.
Right.
They don't even realize what he's done. And so we see he knew what he was talking about. But it takes birth pain. So while the world is falling apart, while even you and your flesh have to put on a mask tomorrow, right? While that's happening, just rest assured and understand that this is just another thing that is working in birth pains to bring you forth to be what God has ordained you to be in the first place. But it takes pain, it takes sorrow, it takes, because you know what? When we've got something comfortable, we don't let go of it. Yeah. When we're eagles in the nest and the nest is comfortable, we don't get out there where we should fly. Yeah. Right? And the eagle, as I've said before, the place where an eagle is the safest is when he's out there in the air flying.
That's right.
So God wants to get you where you can be safe, but as long as we stay back in the nest of the world, comfortable with all of our comforts, like we're not going to let go of those things, so we're not going to do it. We're just not going to let go of these things. You understand? Because somebody will say, I got enough will, I'll let go of it by myself. No, we've already shown we're not letting go of these things. It's this comforts of this life, we're not doing it.
Right.
So God's going to do it for us.
Yeah.
So all the pains, no, I wouldn't think, I don't know since I'm a man, but I wouldn't think any woman would want to have the pains. But you see, she has to go through those to be able to deliver the child.
Yep.
And even if it's a C-section, that's painful, right? Have to go through it. See, there's no other way. So as these things happen, we know it's all collapsing, but this is not a curse on you. This is just birth pains. This is just a world that's falling apart, and God is telling us, let go of this. Let it collapse. Like I said the other day, don't fight against the birth pains, against the contraction. Don't fight against it. Work with it. You'll deliver a lot faster. Is that right, sisters? You'll have a baby faster if you work with the contractions and the pains instead of fighting against it. See what I'm saying? Work with it. Don't fight it. Don't resent it. Don't, you know, mumble and grumble like we've all done, right? But God wants us to see it for what it is. His program is not defiled. His program is not being hindered. It ain't even got a hiccup. His program doesn't have one little bump in the road. Everything's moving right just like it is, and we've got to see it that way no matter how hard it gets in our flesh. We've got to. I've been telling myself, because everybody's complaining at work, having a, you know, and it's so easy to complain right along with them. And I'm like, I want to be positive. The Holy Spirit's always positive. I want to be positive.
Yeah.
Don't get caught up in this. Give them something to see that gives them hope.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So God is, these things are just birth pains. Work with them. Let them mold and make you what the birth of the bride of Christ that we just read the quote of. And so, while the world is falling apart, see, so Brother Ram said there is, it takes a pain, and we have to let go of the old in order to embrace the new. And as long as we're trying to hang on to the old, we can't have the new. As long as the Pharisees and Sadducees were hanging on to the old things they had, they wouldn't accept Christ. As long as the church world wants to hang on to the denominational, they can't have the message. Can't go into rapture. And as long as we don't, well, while everything is collapsing around us and our Jerusalem, Titus is coming around our Jerusalem and we need to flee to the mountain, the revelation, while all that's happening, you know, we want to recognize that for what it is and learn by the tutorship of the Word and the Holy Spirit, learn to let go of Jerusalem and go to the mountain. Learn to let go of this world that's collapsing. Let it go. It'll be tough. It'll be pain. It's going to be hard on us. Our economy, the mask, whatever they do, is probably going to come to a place where they're going to tell you, you must be vaccinated. Remember, they can't touch your soul.
Right.
And I don't find a place in the New Testament where God tells us to rise up with swords and go out and kill. I know that you see that where he said take it, but when it come right down to the disciples, when the press come on there in the Garden of Gethsemane, what happened? Peter, he's going to use a sword. Jesus said, don't do that. He smites off it. He said, don't you know? This is not my kingdom. And it's not ours. See? Everybody's all ready just to go out. But we, no matter what happens in this world, we're not called to be anything other than real Christians. And I know that fits right into your home because you realize that things are sitting out there where you realize your own home can be compromised by enemies.
That's right.
And you got to search out from God what you're going to do and how you're going to handle it.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm not trying to tell you how. I'm just telling you, birth pains.
Right.
And we are still in the midst of all this called to be Christians, to be godly, and to have our focus upon a birth of the kingdom of God in us. And not get caught up in the things of the world and be held earthbound like the rest of the world is.
Right.
You know, I don't know if I've mentioned this or not, but my dad, he told me here a while back, he said, you know, he's got, and my wife might remember the term, but he's got a blood disorder that's hereditary. And he makes too much red blood, something bilirubin or something. Makes too much red blood, he has to take medicine for it. He has to go in and every so often they have to take a bunch of blood out of him because he produces too much. And if left untreated, it creates a leukemia. Right? That's what they, that's what he's telling me. I could look at that and go, oh no, I better go get tested. And nothing against him for taking medicine, that's fine. But I hear a message.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I don't find anything in the Word of God that says that a genetic disorder that somebody in your family had that you have to sign up for it.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm not condemning somebody that has. I'm just saying we're supposed to be Christians.
Right.
We are supposed to be a people who are growing into the Word of the Lord on display.
Yes.
That means we've got to be something different than the rest of the world. I keep harping that, you know. We should have the presence of God with our lives and with us in such a way that it's clear there's a difference.
Yeah.
That God is with us. And not to make us big, but through humility to know that, God, I believe your word. And this message, from the best I can see, there is no other message coming. For the Gentiles, this is the word that will change our body. If there isn't, the Holy Spirit will let us know what it is. But you understand, we believe it. And so we should look for all the fruits of those things that the message says and what God has promised. We should look for that.
Right.
And it doesn't tell us that we have to accept anything that the world has to accept.
That's right.
But you know what? You've got to receive that pardon that way. You've got to receive it like that and believe it. And that's the truth. So everything, you know, in God's kingdom is paradoxes. You know, we find the scripture where he says, if you seek to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life, you'll save it. And you think, you know, you go, oh, get carnal minded, you know. But you know what he's saying. If you seek to maintain a status in this life and in the flesh, that the world would say is good, the world would say is wonderful, if you seek to maintain that kind of that life that he said, when the world will pass away, it's not the planet, but it's the cosmos, the man's thinking, the way of all the system that's collapsing, that's the cosmos. And if you seek to save your status among that, you're going to be lost. See? But if you'll lose that, then you can be saved by eternal life. And it shows you that they're contrary one to another. One is of the flesh, earthly, but the other one's spirit from heaven, as we read. And so one of them has got to die in order for the next one to come forth. So it has to be sown in corruption. A corrupt system has to bury that thing that we can come forth in incorruption.
That's right.
Follow me? That's why I read the scripture I did. We have to learn And you know, dying is not easy. Letting a loved one go is not easy. It's painful. And we don't want to do it. But especially if someone is suffering, then you're being selfish if you want to make them stay back and suffer longer. See, let them go. And so, but it takes a pain, it takes struggle to let go of the thing that was once so strong in your life. Let go of it. You follow me?
Amen.
But you got to if you want to come forth in strength for the next generation, the next thing. See,
Amen.
We have to die to this world to go on a rapture.
Right.
We know this. We understand that. But it's paradoxes. So you have to lose your life to save it. And so look what Jesus did. You know, you look at him, how he come along. He had to, you know, oh, he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's going to save the whole thing. Yeah, he is, but not acting like a lion. The key to him acting like the lion or being the Lion of the tribe of Judah was the fact that he was a lamb. And that's why I keep saying you've got to be a lamb before you can be the lion. You've got to follow in humility to the submission of the Word of God before you can rise forth and triumph with the Word of God. David, when he was victorious behind the scenes, he was victorious out in the open. When he failed behind the scenes, he failed out in the open. Follow me? It's a concept. And so, but it's like a paradox. Because to the natural way of looking, you're giving up your life. What? What do you mean you quit college so you can serve the Lord? That's stupid. No, it wasn't. It was the best thing I could have done. Because God had his hand. You see what I'm saying? That the world, when they look at you and they look at these things and somebody's following after the Word of God, they think it's ignorant. They think you're throwing your life away. Why? You're not having any fun. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. To them, it's stupid. But to you, you realize you're letting it go. You're dying to the world that you might live with Christ. And so we follow the same thing. We must lose our life in order to find it. As long as we're holding on to the old, we cannot have the new. And when you pass from one to the other, there's birth pains to do it. Amen. I think you probably hear understand that. Harvest time. So, you know, we churches, you know, harvest time this, harvest time tabernacle, nothing against them. I'm just saying they use that name because, you know, we're at the harvest time. Well, what does it mean to be at harvest time? Harvest time means everything puts forth their fruit, right?
Right.
Harvest time means that everything that had been going on in that plant for all those weeks or months, everything that they were is now put into the seed and it's sealed. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so you understand that everything that Luther was, everything that Wesley, everything that Pentecost was, the genuine move of God, everything that was in there now has to go into the grain, the bride of Christ. And furthermore, we know that as that life goes in, everything else dies. Somebody at work asked me the other day, how do you know when that you left, that your plant that you're wanting to get, your tomato plant or whatever it is, when you want to get the seeds out of it and plant it next year, how do you know how long to leave it on the vine? And I said, I just leave them there until the vine dies. Right? Because all the greenness represents life. When all the greenness leaves the plant, you know the life has left it and is now in the fruit,
yeah,
in the seed.
Right.
See? And you know when the godliness and the truths and all the things that were once there in Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, when they're all gone,
yeah,
when it's left there, you know there's a message among the bride,
yeah,
making her just like Christ.
Amen.
So you know that. And so harvest time, remember the parables? Do you want us to go out there and separate the wheat and the tares? No. Let it alone because you can't tell them apart. They look alike. You're going to mess around and you're going to destroy some of God's elect when you're trying to destroy some of those that's trying to imitate the elect that are really poison. Let them alone. But at harvest time, it'll become very clear which one's wheat and which one's tare. Right? And then God can send forth his angels, he can send forth his messengers, and they'll preach, and he'll separate the chaff and, you know, and the tares and the wheat and all that, separate everything apart, and we'll have a rapture. We'll be able to take the bride into the rapture, take the wheat into the garner, but all the other is going to burn, right? But let it go until harvest time. You see, and so now he sent forth his messenger, sent forth his angels, sent forth, and now the word that has been preached is causing the separation. And the word has caused the rest of them to go back to Rome. See? They did that as a result of rejecting a vindicated prophet, and they've all gone back to Rome. But the same word has caused a separation of the wheat into the presence of the sun, is making it greener, or not greener, but taking the greenness out of it, making it more mature. That's what's happened, see? And so we know that, but harvest time means everything's going to put forth its fruit, and you'll know a tree by its fruit. So we once looked up there and thought, people probably thought, well, the Democrats, they're good. Well, the Republicans, they're good. Oh, our school system, it's good. Our medical system, it's good. And this and that and everything else. We looked at it at one time and thought it was good because it wasn't harvest time. But now you can see their fruits. You can see what's working in the systems out there that they're not for you, the believer. You can see it because it's harvest time. But rest assured, while that's happening and things get hard, birth pains are making you become more what you are.
Yeah.
We believe that. We know that's the way it works. And so harvest time causes this. Harvest time, the pressures, like Brother Daniel, I always get tickled when he uses the example I gave about putting the cat and tail in the vise, trying to act like a dog, but you put his... But that's the thing, is when the vice of troubles come down on you and I, we might still be not weaned from worldly things necessarily. I don't mean bad things. I mean just, you know, things that hinder us in our walk with God. But you let the pressure come on, and brother, sister, we're going to go right straight to the Word as quick as we can.
That's right.
Because that's what we are.
Yeah.
That's what we are. We can't be something we weren't already.
Yeah, right.
See? But you and I, because we were born in a mindset where we don't comprehend that, you know, God's got to enlighten us and bring us to the understanding that we've had spiritual amnesia for a while.
Yeah.
He wants us to understand where we are, who we are, where we come from. So it takes getting us into the presence of familiar surroundings to help us realize who we are. I hope you remember the message, you know, of the soldier who, you know. Get us around familiar things. What? The preaching of the seals and the message of God and the truth coming forth. And we begin to realize, hey, I something in me identifies with that.
That's right.
That eagle, hearing that mama eagle scream, see?
Yeah.
I want you know that's happening. And so no matter what pressures come down upon you, those pressures, all they can do is squeeze you right into a greater manifestation of the Word that you are.
Amen.
But make sure that you've sought God to find out who you are. See, I don't want to go back to thinking of denomination and make you think that, you know, you gotta and you can be something. No, it's all about predestination. You can't be something you're not. But it takes birth pain. And the Scripture says, "Seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And that's still there. Amen. If you have eternal life in you now, you always had it. It's just laying dormant there.
Right.
Had to be quickened by the Word. Amen. And so, the bride in hard times become an expression of the Word. She is the Word. Brother Ram tells us, and we went through this before, how that Abraham sent Eliezer. He made Eliezer his servant. Said, "Promise me that you will not get a wife for Isaac from among where I'm at right here, but you'll go back to the place where we come from," right? And Brother Evans comes along and in invisible union with the Bride of Christ, he says, see, that describes the what looks like the two books of life. There's a book of life, there's a Lamb's book of life.
That's right.
And he said, see, God, when he comes to go look for that bride at the end time, He's not going to look out here for denominationals. He's not going to look to the book of life.
Right.
But he's going to go back to the beginning, to the same place Jesus Christ come from, which was the mouth of God speaking the word of God, that she's the word also, and he's going to go back to that same place where Jesus Christ come from, and that's where he's going to find that bride for Jesus Christ, his right spoken word, right out of the mouth of God, word of his word, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. And that was God going back not to the book of life, which is a record of your works, but he goes back to the Lamb's book of life, which is not a record of your works, but it's a record of the grace of God that has taken your name and transferred it off the book of life, that where you won't be judged by your works, but he puts it right over here, and your grace, covered by grace all the way, your Mrs. Jesus Christ, that's your marriage certificate.
Amen.
That's what he said. Right? And so, you are the Word. And the last time I noticed, if you take a cow and you want to have more cows, it takes a female cow and it takes a male.
That's right.
A female and a male. And it can't be a horse and a cow or a pig and a cow. It has to be a cow and a cow. Do you understand what I'm saying? Of the same species. So it takes Jesus Christ, and his bride has to be the same species he is.
Right.
And if he's the Word, she has to be the Word.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Saints, God's putting it down. He's bringing it down where you understand you are the living Word.
Amen.
You're his wife. See, that's what he's bringing us to understand. As the world's falling apart, he wants to squeeze you right into the manifestation of being who you are. And that is the bride of Jesus Christ, who is united with him. It takes two of a kind. Brother Ram said in this sermon, he said, actually it's in the Patmos Vision, the Church Age book too, but Patmos Vision. He says, man is omnipotent. Now you know what that means, omnipotent, all power. I don't feel like I'm all powerful. Do you? But he said, man, and he's obviously talking about, he explains it here, a man who's surrender to God. A man is omnipotent. He said, you don't believe that, but he is. A man fully surrendered to God is omnipotent. Did not he say in Mark 11:22, whatsoever things you say and don't doubt in your heart, it'll come to pass. You can have what you say. What happens when two omnipotents meet? When God and man comes together, two omnipotents, something's got to take to shape. Whatsoever you'd say, whatsoever you would say, with that creative power of omnipotence of God, knowing that he promised it and he said it in his word, it creates a power that goes out yonder and brings to pass things that is not. It makes them as though they are, because two omnipotents has met. There he stands. Oh, isn't he wonderful? So he's telling us, you know, the world, Satan wants you to think you're powerless. He wants you to think you just got to go right down the chute with the rest of them. Right? But you're not.
Right.
If you're the bride of Christ, surrendered to God, then you're omnipotent. Because now you've got the same life in you that's not dormant, but now living. And that same life that's now living in you is the same life that spoke things to begin with. And it's a life that's not just a stray going doing whatever it wants, but it's a life that is dedicated to the nature and character of the one it come from. So it's not acting out of kilter. So now you got in you that same life that spoke. And then when you two, you come together, believer, believing the word, the Brother Ram says it's the same creative power, that same power working in you. And it'll go out there, and things that are not, it'll bring them as though they, you understand, as though they are, and bring it to pass. A creative power that'll go out there and take care of it. It didn't say you had to get up and go do it. But a creative power, a power that will go out there and make these things come to pass, whatever it is. It's just like divine love when it's projected. It'll produce sovereign grace and produce what the grace, what it is, and it's the topic. So we can see that she is the Word. No question about it. You know, we can remember that when, as I said the other day, Elizabeth and Zachariah, when Zachariah went in, their angel told him, said, "You're in your old age, but you're going to have a child. You and your wife's going to have a child in your old age." And he doubted it. And he was smitten dumb because of it. And the reason why is because he, being a priest, and it had already happened before. God had already taken Abraham and Sarah, who were old, and gave them a child in their old age. And he, being a priest, well-versed in knowing that, should not have doubted something that he knew that God had already done and was there. And because of his position, when he doubted, he had to suffer because of it. Right? But you see, but then here's Abraham, when God says, you know, you're going to have a child, it's not going to be Eliezer or your servant, but you're going to have one of your own loins. And he had Ishmael, and then he comes along and says, now it's going to be through Sarah. And Abraham kind of laughed. I mean, remember reading it. Yep. He kind of laughed and said, you know, God didn't curse him. God didn't do anything to him. Yep. See? But then you find a little bit later where Sarah, she doubted. She lied.
Yep.
Lied in the face of God. And Brother Rem said, oh my, lie? Right to God? See, he could have killed her. But he couldn't kill her because she was part of Abraham.
Right.
And you see, Sarah's performance didn't give her that status. If you'd have looked at her, she'd have been a goner because she just lied.
Right.
She doubted, lied, chuckled, me being old, be able to have a baby. See what I'm saying? So if God would have went to Sarah, and I'll say it this way because it comes to mind this way, if God would have went to the book of life where Sarah's actions was and would have looked at that, she'd have been a goner. But he had to go to the Lamb's book of life with the grace of God covered and said, I can't kill her because she's under the blood of Jesus Christ. She's in the Lamb's book of life. She belongs to him. She belongs to Abraham. And I can't touch her because she belongs to Abraham and she's part of Abraham.
Yeah.
And that's what Brother Brown was rejoicing about. God can't destroy us because we're part of Jesus Christ. We are the Word because he's the Word. Right? And we got, now, there's your pardon. But you got to receive it that way.
That's right.
You got to believe that. You got to say, you know what? God's not looking at my failures. He's not looking at the book of life. He's looking at the Lamb's book of life.
Amen.
And that's not a ticket to go out and do whatever you want. Because when you see that, you see what he's done, it makes you want to serve him. And you'll have a lot more success in your natural things that you're trying to overcome when you realize what he's done for you and that he's put your name on the Lamb's book of life. But you see what I'm saying? God could not kill her because she was part of Abraham. And he can't do that to you. Now the rest of the world who's rejected the Word, they're not part of the Word. See? So judgment comes upon them. The whole system is going to crash. They're going to suffer, go through all kinds of things. But you, in your walk with God, I'm talking about in your spiritual walk for who you are, these things can't touch you. As Brother Brim said, that the stabilizer's been put on the ship. You know what you need stabilizers for? Because you're going to have a rough time.
That's right.
But don't worry, because the stabilizers are there.
Amen.
You don't have to worry. It's a rough ride, but don't worry about it. I'm the bride. Lord, if I'm doing something wrong, you correct me. Or I'm your son. Same thing. I'm your son. Correct me. But just know that if you really had that birth of the Word in you, that all these things, all it's going to do is produce a greater walk in your life, closer to him, and you can never be not his son if you are his son or his daughter. Amen. May the Lord richly bless you. So as the world is falling apart and dying, may the grace of God show us how to let go and put all of our efforts and confidence on that which is coming forth in strength. And may my influence upon you be that way. And may your influence upon each other be that. Right? I don't want to encourage you to dig deeper and try and be fortified even more in this world, in the natural things. I want to encourage you to believe God in His Word, that He will provide for you. And some glorious morning, when He has said it's enough, then He'll come and take your body, change it. But that body change is actually working inside you right now.
That's right.
Amen. So may the Lord bless you as the musicians come. Don't want to preach too long because we got a really good lunch. No, I will tell you, I will confess to you, I will never shut down a service that I feel the Lord moving for natural things. I'm not going to do that. Amen. But, you know, you get to the place where you know that you've delivered your heart, so that's what you do. So let's bow our hearts to you. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your blessings upon us, Lord. We want to thank you, Lord, for allowing us to sit in heavy places today and to look upon your word and hear these great things that have been given. And as we said so many times in the past, Lord, it would save the whole world. Just a few sentences would save the whole world if they would listen. But, Lord, they've rejected it. We realize that your plan has moved into a realm where the life has left the plants of all the religious systems of the world because they've denominated and rejected your word. But now you're in the grain. You're in a people that's just like that original. And so we just ask, God, that by your mercy and grace, we just trust and believe that we are that people. And, Lord, that you'd correct us where we need to be corrected. And as sons and daughters of God, we could just rise up in that tutorship of the Holy Spirit. And, Lord, come to that place where we please you totally. And Lord, to the place where we come in our character where we never go back to the arm of the flesh. We ask, God, that you just perform these things in us and that you touch each one. No matter what age we are, we're asking God, you just to bring forth the word in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand and we'll sing something. You love the Lord?
Amen.